Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Luke chapter 21. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites. So he said, "Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all, for all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had." Then, as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, he said, "These things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." So they asked him, saying, "Teacher, but when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "Take heed that you not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'The time is drawn near.' Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience, possess your souls. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant, and to those who are nursing babies in those days. For there will be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword, and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear in the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." Then he spoke to them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. Then, early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him.
As I look around, I see a world that's filled with misery and sin. People running everywhere, not knowing where they're going or where they've been. And we all have forgotten the reason that God has put us here. I believe the day when Jesus comes back to this earth is very near.
Lesson 65, The Coming Judgment. In today's lesson, we shall have a prophetic look at the coming judgments upon Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. There is much information in Jesus' prophetic words about what signs we should expect before and during the tribulation period and the return of Christ to judge the nations and reign upon the earth. The chapter begins with Jesus observing to his disciples a poor widow putting her last coins into the temple treasury. While many other rich folks put in a small portion of their wealth, Jesus explained to his disciples that the poor widow put in more than all the others, for she kept back nothing for herself. When we give to the Lord, God will evaluate it not based on the amount given, but on the degree of sacrifice it cost us. While some folks were admiring the temple to Jesus, he explained that in a coming day of judgment, the beautiful temple would be destroyed so that no stone would be left upon another. When the disciples heard these words, they asked him when these things would take place. What follows is a lengthy answer about two future judgments. Jesus will speak about the destruction of Jerusalem, which we know from history occurred in AD 70 at the hands of the Romans. They destroyed the city and the temple just as Jesus had predicted. Jesus also elaborates on God's judgment not only on Israel during a future tribulation, but also a judgment upon all nations upon the earth. These prophetic words are very important then for all of us, because much of Jesus' words have not yet been fulfilled, but we appear to be fast approaching the time when all these things shall come to pass. Let's look at the prophecy more closely. Jesus mentions at least 19 signs concerning the future judgments, some relating to the destruction of Jerusalem and the times following, and most have to do with the final stages before the Lord comes again in glory. Number 1, Jesus mentions false messiahs will arise, and there will be wars and rumors of wars. These signs appear prior to his coming, which would be during a future tribulation period. Also, he said that nations and kingdoms will be at war, along with great earthquakes, famine, disease, and fearful sights and signs from heaven. Although we are seeing great earthquakes in various places like Japan, New Zealand, and Haiti, these are only preliminary to the natural disasters of the tribulation period. We also have plenty of famine and disease in our day, but we as yet have not seen any great signs in the heavens concerning the moon, sun, and stars. So we are safe to conclude that these are all future signs. Jesus mentions a persecution against his people prior to these signs, and this might refer to the Christians that have been persecuted down through the church age, but could also refer to the tribulation believers, many of whom will be martyred for their faith. Now Jesus jumps back to the judgment on Jerusalem and speaks of the army surrounding the city to destroy it. Jesus warns that in that day the people should make haste to get out of the city before it is destroyed. He predicts that the Jews would be scattered to all nations until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Jesus returns to the topic of the signs that appear just prior to his return, which includes signs in the sky with the sun and moon and stars. He says there will be distress and perplexity, and men's hearts will fail them for fear, as the power of the heaven is shaken. Finally, Jesus, who is called the Son of Man, will come in glory. When Jesus comes, it will be to overthrow the armies that are seeking to destroy Israel and to establish his kingdom on earth. After speaking about all these signs of his coming, he says that those who see these signs should look up, for their redemption is near. Jesus speaks to the believers of the tribulation period, who will be fiercely persecuted, but they can be assured that soon their Redeemer will come and rescue them. Jesus then tells us a parable about the fig tree. He says that when the blossoms appear, you will know that summer is very near. The fig tree is often a picture of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, and Jesus is pointing out that when the signs of his coming are seen, then we can know that his coming in glory is very near. When Jesus said, "This generation shall not pass away until all this is fulfilled," he could not have been referring to the generation living at the time he spoke these words, for although many of that generation witnessed the destruction of Jerusalem, they certainly did not see the Lord return to earth in glory. We are still waiting after 2 millennia for Jesus to return. So what did he mean by this generation? Some feel that from the time Israel once again became a nation, which happened in 1948, that the generation living at that time shall not pass away before they see the Lord's return. This seems to fit well with what Jesus has said, which means that since 1948 to the present, there has been about 63 years. There are plenty still living who saw the formation of Israel in 1948, and the generation in Scripture often equates to the average lifespan of a man, which is 70 or 70 years. We cannot be certain, for no man knows the day or the hour, but the faithful should recognize the signs of the times and prepare themselves for the Lord's return at any moment from now. Are you ready? Prepare yourself by receiving Jesus as your Savior. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Luke chapter 21, verse 27.
Even the flowers have to die and the leaves have to fall. In the middle of the night, you can hear a little child's fearful call. When people who call themselves Christians can't even get along, makes me pray for that one day when Jesus comes to claim his very own. One day there'll be righteousness, one day there'll be peace and rest, when Jesus comes to make all things new. The world will be in one accord, everyone will serve the Lord, the lion and the lamb will play one day.
And now for today's Bible question. Today we've been learning about the signs of the Lord's return to judge the world. We learned that Jerusalem was judged in AD 70 when God allowed the Roman armies to destroy Jerusalem and the temple and scatter Israel over the face of the earth. We also learned that the time of Jesus' second coming may be very near because the generation that witnessed the formation of the nation of Israel is coming to its close very soon. Someone might ask the question, why is Israel so important to God and to prophecy? It is striking to notice how much of our Bible is centered around the history and prophecies concerning the nation of Israel. Why would this little country in the Middle East create so much biblical attention and be the center of world conflict and of future glory? Starting way back in Genesis 12, we meet a man named Abraham, who was called by God to go to the land of promise, Canaan, and what today we know as Israel. God in His sovereignty chose Abraham and his descendants as a people whom God would bless. He did this not to show favoritism to this particular people, but that through them all the nations of the earth would be blessed. As God's chosen people, they were given the law of God through Moses. They were brought miraculously out of slavery and into the land of blessing, and they were given the priesthood, the tabernacle, and the promise of God's presence among them in Jerusalem. All of this was to be a means by which all nations could know the true God and Creator of all. The nations worshipped other gods, but could and should have learned by God's dealings with Israel whom the true God was. Pharaoh should have known, after all the signs given through Moses, who the true God was. Even his magicians had to admit that these plagues were nothing else but the finger of God. God's plan was to use Israel as an object lesson of His love and redemption available to all people. Unfortunately, Israel failed to keep God's law and represent Him to the nations. But God's plan was not overcome because of the sinful rebellion of Israel. God had prepared for the failure of the nation. He sent His Son, who came through the nation of Israel, and called Israel to repentance. Even when Israel refused to receive her Messiah and honor Him as their rightful king, God's purposes still would not be confounded. The message of salvation went forth from the Jewish apostles to the Gentiles, and has since spread across the globe, so that all nations of the earth have been blessed through the descendants of Abraham. Jesus was the son of Abraham, and the one through whom God would fulfill all His promises. It appears that Israel was lost and far from God over the past 2,000 years, but God has not finished with the nation of Israel, for as yet He intends to fulfill all of His promises to these people. Therefore, they have been preserved miraculously over 2,500 years since their dispersion by Nebuchadnezzar to all the nations. It is more than remarkable that the Jewish people have remained a unique people with a unique language after so many generations have passed, not even having their own country in which to live. Although they have had short time of restoration to the land, they have never had their own sovereign state until 1948. Today in Israel, the Jews gather at the Wailing Wall and say their prayers, still waiting and hoping for God's Messiah to come and exalt their nation. They still feel the oppressive hand of their enemies trying to destroy them, but cry out to God for His mercy on their nation. The Christian stands in the light of God's revelation and understands that until this nation recognizes that Jesus is their Messiah, they will not find peace with God or safety from their enemies. But soon, and very soon, the days of judgment will commence, and the attention of the world will focus on this tiny nation. And when it looks as though Israel is about to be utterly destroyed, then their great Savior will appear in glory and spare them, exalt them, and He shall reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. The Christian should learn the significance of Israel from the Old Testament and New Testament prophecies, and understand that this nation is the apple of God's eye, and He will ensure that they will be rescued and exalted. The church is not a replacement of Israel in God's plans, but rather God's special called out people during the time of Israel's blindness and unbelief. We do well to remember the promise made to Abraham that those who bless Israel will be blessed. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student.
Jesus sent me with a stranger, wandering from the home of God. He
if you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans 10:9 it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians 2:8-9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus.
Take and seal it for thy courts above.
Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
I'm so glad that all of God's children who are nothing in this life will one day rule the nations and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. So just remember, when you are discouraged, there's coming a brighter day. Even so, come Lord Jesus, I hope, my dear friend, you can pray. One day there'll be righteousness, one day there'll be peace and rest, when Jesus comes to make all things new. The world will be in one accord, everyone will serve the Lord, the Lion and the Lamb will play. One day, one day. What heaven holds, walls of jasper, streets of gold, and its beauty remains to see. Could be Jesus coming after me. Look yonder, who do I see? Could be Jesus coming after me. Heaven's best is yet to be, when I see Jesus coming after me. And the best is yet to be, when I see Jesus come for me. When we sing around the throne, amazing grace will be our song. Look yonder, who do I see? Could be Jesus coming after me. Heaven's best is yet to be, when I see Jesus coming after me. Look yonder, who do I see? Could be Jesus coming after me. Heaven's best is yet to be, when I see Jesus coming after me. Heaven's best is yet to be, when I see Jesus coming after me.